Blog Talk Radio.
Facing your fears with your host, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and co-host, Pastor Doris Smith. Evangelist Norma Chapman is the host of Facing Your Fears Blog Talk Radio Show. She's interviewed many guests that have been an inspiration as well as a blessing to many of her listeners. She's the author of What Faith Can Do, and she's currently writing 3 other books. She studied criminal justice and criminal law and attended Union Baptist Theological College in New Orleans. She's an associate minister at Greater Liberty Baptist Church under the leadership of Dr. Calvin W. Woods, Jr. She sits on the NAACP Executive Committee. She is the former chairperson for Justice for Girls SCLC New Orleans Chapter. She is the newly elected Universal Baptist Association Women's Auxiliary Director. She is a mother of 2 daughters and 4 beautiful grandchildren. Pastor Doris Smith, co-host. Pastor Smith retired after 29 years of service in the government from the position of procurement contracting supervisor. She's a pastor, a teacher, an author, a certified professional speaker, a life and inspirational coach, and the host of the Power Hour line of inspiration and motivation. A caregiver, a beautiful wife, a wonderful mother, a grandmother, and just an all-around people person. And now it's time for Facing Your Fears with Evangelist Norma Chapman, with her co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
Good evening, everyone. We are going to open Facing Your Fears radio talk show this evening with prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight and we praise you. We lift you up and magnify your amazing, awesome name. We thank you for our guest this evening that will be enlightening those who are in need of desire to know about the power God has given us. We pray that as the word go forth, that they will embrace it and learn, that they will grow, praise God. We help them through the word of God, which we know everything is going down, but it's the word of God that's going to stand forever. We pray everyone on that line is blessed tonight. In Jesus' name, we pray and we say amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Good evening to all of our listeners. You are this evening connected to Facing Your Fears radio talk show host, where our host is Evangelist Norma Chapman, who will be joining us later in the show. I am your co-host, Pastor Doris Smith, and this evening our topic will be Power People Living Powerless. Our special guest this evening, as we welcome to the Facing Your Fears radio talk show, will be Bishop Bernard Waters. He will be our guest, special guest this evening. I want you to remember, listeners, to press the number 1 on your phone. If you have any questions or want to share your thoughts and comments or experiences as we go through this topic today, remember to press the number 1 on your phone. Tonight, our special guest, Bishop Bernard Waters, will be sharing with you, enlightening those who need to learn about the power God gave us to work out any situation we encounter in our lives. The Bible tells us in Luke 10 and 19, God hath given us the authority to tread on snakes and scorpions. He also tells us in Ephesians 3 and 20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. We must seek God's faith, ask him to help us to use the gift he has blessed us with. Now, as you are on, we present our special guest tonight, Bishop, praise God, Waters, to come on, Bernard Waters.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. Greetings from the Imani Temple, number 28, Book of Acts Ministries, and Bishop Bernard Waters. I'm thankful to the host of this show, Facing Your Fears, Elder Norman Chapman and Pastor Deborah. We appreciate the opportunity to come on. What I want to do is I want to start out in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. 26 and 27, and we're talking about powerful people living powerless. And Genesis says, it reads as follows. And God says, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. When I think about that, I think about how long I've been on this walk, the spiritual walk, Christian walk, whatever you call it. And I think about me asking questions, and I constantly do it now. What is the image and likeness of God? You know, we are told we're made in the image and likeness of God, but all I hear a lot of times is, you know, that we're sinners, we're filthy rags, we ain't worthy, we not this, we not that. But then the Bible says, the Bible proclaims unemphatically that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Now, we know when we're dealing with image and likeness, we're not talking outer extremities. We're not talking about that we have a face like God. We're not talking about that our hair is the same as God. We're not talking about that I'm built like God. We're not talking about that God is male or female. We're not talking about that. So the question that I've asked for years and almost have to yet for someone to try to answer, what is the image and likeness of God? And wondering about that, I've always sought God. I prayed to God. I asked God. I said, God, what sensibly can I proclaim of you to say that your image and likeness? Now, we know that we hear a lot of stories. We know that we have this sect coming after that sect and this sect coming after that sect. But I don't think that that's what God wants us to do. I don't think that God wants us to talk about theology, ideology, dogma, or doctrine. But God wants us to stay factual, and stay true. Now, what is the facts of that? What is what the Bible say God is? And so when we start asking that question, see, we have to ask that question so that we can determine just who we are in God. And so when I ask that question, then I realize that the Bible said that God is spirit. And for those who worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. And then I think about the Bible says that God is love. If you know not love, you know not God. So then my question became, again, to God, because I've been asking people for years, what is it? And so my question to God is, okay, God, what is image and likeness? I know that we have male, female. We have different races of people, but we know we deal with the human race in God. But so when we have that, so everyone, when I look in the mirror, how do I see God? When I look in the mirror, what God am I looking at, or what God am I looking for? And so I often ask God, you know, I ask God, I say, God, I just need to know. I need to know. So then something came on my spirit one day, and that was that God is love. So the image of God, I said, because Jesus says that you must love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul. And the Bible also says, if you know not love, you know not God. So I said, well, okay, God is love. So the Spirit told me that that's the image of God. The image of God is love. And so then I said, well, what is the likeness of God? Where the Bible says, for God is spirit. And those of us who worship God must worship God in spirit and in truth. Now, when we talk about image, love, likeness, God, then we talk about something that every human being on the planet possesses. We all have spirit. We have the breath of God, the ruah. We have supposed to have love. Like to say, love your neighbor as yourself, love, 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 love. if you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your mind, thy soul. And we hear that we have to be spirit, that we have to enhance our spiritual experience in God, and that we must awaken our spirit in God, that we might know who we are in God. So then I come up with the conclusion that the image and likeness of God have to be love and have to be spirit. So when I look at that, and then I look at how the Bible says, how I've been taught, I come out of Catholicism, I've been taught that that I have to do this and I have to do that, and you must this and you must that. And I started, I come out of Catholicism, and I was late getting into the Bible, and I used to go around a lot of people, and I was seeking what it meant to have a relationship with God. I was seeking what it meant to have image and likeness, and all I found in my quest was confusion. I found no answers. I found people that wanted you to follow them. I found, the information that was being short-circuited, if you will, meaning that people would say would come up with what we're going to tell the people, and it confused me because I thought that the Bible said you should know the truth, and the truth should make you free. And so then I started being confused, and then things start not really looking godly to me, if you will. Things start looking to me, start confusing me, start puzzling me, start making me more confused than I was learning. And so I was seeking, I knocked, and I found 2 Timothy 2:15 study, show yourself approved before God for workmen need not to be ashamed, that we learn how to rightly divide the word of truth. And then I found Matthew 23, and I started looking at these things, and I said, oh, Lord. So God starts showing God's self in all the things that I sought to be, like people, to taking after people and doing what I thought was holy. Then I start finding in the Bible that this is not exactly what, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, or whatever, says that it should be. And so, I was, again, confused again. And God just started revealing God's self to me. And when I started
We're going to pause just for a brief moment, Bishop, quickly. We're just going to pause for a moment to come in and let the listeners know that you are this evening listening to Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, where your host is Evangelist Norma Chapman. I am here with you this evening, your co-host, Pastor Smith. Listeners, we want you to know that you can be a part of this talk tonight by pressing the number 1 on your phone. And you'll be able to come in and share or ask questions as well as comment on and share experiences that you too have had. Back in, I want to say just quickly, as you were saying, Bishop, about the image of God. When we speak of the image of God, it does take us to in teaching and in going through the Word of God that He is love. That's what He is. And the Bible does say, as you said, that they that worship Him must do it in spirit. He's spirit and must do it in truth. When God made us, He made us, praise God, in the likeness of Him, in the true righteousness of holiness. Of course, we were shaped, in, as the scriptures say, born shaped into the iniquity of sin. And then he made us like Him. That was the image. And as Adam erred in the garden, of course, the fall brought sin upon all mankind. So we have to realize that His likeness goes much deeper than me just looking like Him in the face, or me just saying I got hair like He just so beautifully explained. So I just want to kind of bring that in a little bit. Go right ahead, Bishop.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. So as Pastor Swift said, so when we deal with that, then we go. And I was looking at some scripture, and again, searching, and after I gathered that, then I found Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. And in Jeremiah 31, 31 to 34, it kind of struck me because it says that I'll read it from, I'm reading from the King James. It says, "Behold, the day come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband and husband unto them, saith the Lord. 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they should all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their sins and remember, and I will remember their iniquities no more." Now, when I read that, and, you know, again, because I was around a lot of stuff in spirituality, in church, Christianity, Christendom, and so, very rarely you hear, okay, God says that I'm going to do something new. Every day I look at Facebook, they have this battle about, you know, the serving on the Sabbath or on the Sunday. And I'm like, how about we feed children? You know, that's just the argument that won't get won, but it keeps us divided because we can't see how valuable we are in God. Now, why are we so valuable in God? Because we are now God's mouthpieces on the earth. Now, God says that I'm going to make a new covenant. And it said, unlike the covenant, because those covenants you couldn't keep, you broke them. He said, in my covenant that I'm going to make them, be almost impossible for you to break. He said, I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people, and I'm going to live in the inward part of you, in your heart. And remember, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
The mouth. Amen.
So when we talk about the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, now God is saying now that, and remember, the Bible also tells us that good and evil cannot dwell
good
in the same
evil.
Place. So
right.
If God lives in your heart, then you can't have evil. If you do evil things, then you have to question, what God are you serving? Are you serving the Bible? Are you serving the God that they created that lead people to like a wolf in sheep clothing that lead people astray? Because the God of the Bible says that I'm gonna make a relationship with you. I'm gonna live inside of you. I'm gonna dwell in you. And he says, I'm gonna be your God and you're gonna be my people. But listen to what's most important. That same God said, and I will forgive you your iniquities and remember your sins no more. So we have people around here constantly actually be forgiven for sins, forgiven for my sins, because we live the human experience. But then we are told that Jesus died, that he might wash away the past, the present, and the future sins. So then in the new covenant, we're not supposed to be focusing on sin, because we're supposed to be focusing on going to get God's children out of them. So he told that the Bible says that where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace even more abounds. So if you have been anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost, now remember, if God lives inside of you, you have to be anointed. If you're anointed, what do that mean? That means that you are an approved, listen to this, you're approved child of God. Now, to be anointed means to be a Christ. The word Christ means anointing. Don't get confused with Jesus Christ, because Christ is not
right.
Jesus' last name. It's Jesus, the anointed one. Christ, the anointed one. So You now are a anointed.
Bishop, just want to quickly just do a little pinpoint. I want to bring clarity, just a quick bit of clarity as you're saying your teaching and sharing this evening, is that we are speaking here, of course, out of the book of Jeremiah, which is the Old Testament. And during the Old Testament, there were sacrifices, as we know, of animals, et cetera, et cetera. But then when Christ came, there was a blood cut covenant, where this covenant here was cut through the blood. And we're no longer up under the law. We are now under grace. His grace is so sufficient. Yes, we are truly valuable, and we are his mouthpiece. But the perfect one, who is Christ Jesus, as the word tells us, has not returned. So as we realize that we are a powerful people, because God said he gave us power. We're not a perfect people, but we are a powerful people. And we have to understand that the power that God gave us, he said, I gave you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. He said nothing by any means. I don't care which way it comes. It will not be able to harm you. You got to have faith, he also said, because he said, without faith, it's impossible to please you. You're in my likeness, but you're not me. Go right ahead, Bishop.
Right. But you're right. You're in my likeness, but you're not me. But when we say that, when we say where sin abound, grace even more abound, that means that those of us who live, who have accepted the plan of God, now we walk in the righteousness of God because we are the chosen of God. In John 17:17, Jesus told God, he said, I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I'm asking you to take the world out of them. Sanctify them with thy word, for thy word is truth. When you sanctify, what does that mean? Sanctified means being made holy.
Set apart.
Being set
mm-hmm.
apart.
Holy, set
being
apart.
Set. So
mm-hmm.
if you've been made holy, you've been set apart, then that means that you are the righteousness of God, meaning you don't practice a sin life. You practice living a godly life. But in the human experience, sometimes we might fall a little short, but God is there
That's
to
right.
catch us, to carry
That's
us.
Right.
So when we start actualizing that and God live in us, and then the more it's not I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me, what Christ means, the anointed
mm-hmm.
that live in me.
Mm-hmm.
So no longer I think like I used to think. So when they say that we're going to speak in new tongues, it don't necessarily mean what, you know, we believe speaking in tongue is, but speaking in new tongue is if I used to raise a lot of sand, but now I give glory to God. That's a new tongue
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new tongue for
mm-hmm.
me. So now God, but now God live inside of me. God is in me. God is a part of who I am. But here we go. Now, in John 19:28-30, the Christ, the Jesus, didn't return. But the Christ did say that my work on earth is finished. He said, my work is finished. It's over. Now, what was finished? What was complete? What was finished is that we have been returned back to God, where that now we are the children of the Most High God. In John 1:12, it tells us, it, for those of us who believe, have become sons and daughters, children of God. And John 14:12, he said, great works
mm-hmm.
have I done for those who believe. Great works have I done, mm-hmm. but yet greater works have you to do.
Greater
so
works.
We can't get caught up in thinking sinly. We have to get caught up in thinking godly. Why? Because God says that I'm going to dwell in your heart. Another thing, John 14:26 says, in the Comforter is going to teach you and keep you in remembrance of all that I've taught. So
mm-hmm.
if the Holy Spirit now is leading and guiding your life, you've been sanctified, made holy. That means that the way you used to be, I remember we have this thing, I'm not all that I should be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Because now I have enough sense to know now that without God I'm nothing, but with
That's
God
right.
I'm everything. So
I'm
if
everything.
Now
right.
here we go. Now at the institution of Last Supper, Jesus said it's finished. It's done. Where he said that
mm-hmm.
in a joke, but he said this cup and this bread
which we call communion, represent the new covenant. Now, what is the new covenant? In Jeremiah, God said the new covenant says that I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. I'm going to live in what of you? I'm going to live inside of you. This is what God said a new covenant is. Jesus says that he ushered in the new covenant, meaning this is what I mean when I say powerful people live in powerless. God lives inside of us. God dwells in our heart. And God says, I wish that none is not lost. No, not one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For those who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he come not into the world that they might be destroyed, but that they might be saved. So again, now, once Jesus said a new covenant been ushered in, that means I can say that the Spirit of God lives in my heart. And then I can also also be comforted in knowing, listen to this, saints, I could be comforted in knowing that God now dwells inside of my heart. So guess what that means? It means that no longer am I a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. And what we say, the grace
right there
of God
for a moment,
is what?
Tony Bishop, let me get the announcement in right quickly, and you can keep right on going.
All right.
Greetings and greetings this evening, listeners that are connected in with Faith in Your Fears radio talk show from around the world. This is your co-host, our host, evangelist Norma Chapman, will be joining us later in the show today. You have your co-host, Pastor Doris Smith. I want you to know, listeners, that as you are tuned in this evening, and as you are listening, feel free to press the number one on your phone. So if you have any questions that you want to share, any thoughts or comments that you want to make, or experiences concerning today, that you could feel free to share. Go right ahead, Bishop.
Thank you. Thank you. And as Pastor Smith was speaking the announcement, you know, I was just thinking about how blessed we are, because now God uses us, and now that we have been made the children of God, that we, and that's why Jesus said, how much more do you mean to your Father than the birds in the air, or the fowls of the air? He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man, they have not a place to call home. But in God, we have everything that we need. See, nothing that you need is outside of God. But if you realize who you are in God and you start living godly, then you'll be not conformed. Because, see, the Bible tells us we can't be conformed, but we have to be transformed by renewing the mind. Well, what's a transformed mind? A transformed mind focused on God and godly things. A transformed mind do introspection. Do introspection, search inside of self to see what is it that I can do to further make myself better and better in God. Why? Because I'm not focusing on being a sinner no more, because I've been told that I'll forgive you your iniquities and I remember your sins no more. That's done. So now my focus on becoming the best me I can be so that God can use me, because I'm reminded of Matthew 9:36-38. Where they say Jesus came across the horizon, and he said Jesus came across the horizon, and that he was perplexed because he said he saw his sheep scattered like sheep without a shepherd. But he told the disciples, he said, "But go ye and pray to the Lord of the harvest that he send harvesters." But then if you look at the
let me
chapter,
ask you a question.
Yes,
Bishop, can
ma'am.
I ask you a question?
Yes,
ma'am. As you
ma'am.
Were saying in the last statement that you made, you say you share with us about the part, it is finished. And your topic tonight is powerful people living powerless. I want to ask you a question. What are some of the things that, as we are getting to the top of the hour and we want to be able to share some information with the people as it concerns this topic, powerful people living powerless, what are some of the things that you could identify right now, taking in consideration that the Lord said it is finished? Basically to say that everything that
was necessary for us, he has already did it. There's nothing in our life that we're ever going to go through that's going to dumbfound God. He say it's finished.
Right.
I know what it is to hurt. I know what it is to be with. I know what it is to be without. I know what it is to be lied on. There's nothing we can imagine that we ever going to. So what are some of the things, would you say, powerful people? Because, look, God has given you that power. If you're not operating in it and you're confessing and professing Christ Jesus, would that be an example of a powerful person living powerless? What are some things that you can, so because somebody out there, radio talk show, might not be able to quite identify who they may be, or they may need a clarification. Can you share something in that area?
All right.
You made a good point. You made a good point.
This is the host, Evangelist Norma Chapman. Good afternoon, listeners. Good afternoon. I've been tuning in. I've enjoyed the show thus far, and I want to thank our special guest for tuning in on Facing Your Fears on today. And I pray that some listeners out there are being encouraged on the day. I want to say good afternoon to my co-host, Pastor Doris Smith.
How are you doing, Pastor Smith?
I'm only tuned in for a little while. I have to leave you guys again. Just wanted to let you know that I'm enjoying the show thus far, and I pray that our listeners will call in and give us their thoughts and comments and questions on the show for today by pressing the number one on your phone. God bless you. How you doing this afternoon, Bishop Wallace? Thank you for being a guest on Facing Your Fears.
Thank you for inviting me, Evangelist. Thank you for the invite.
God bless you all. I'm going to let you continue in your topic for today. People, power people, living powerless. Powerless. And that's a strong topic on today. But I do know that I want to encourage all our listeners out there. God, give us the power, all the power that we need, and all that we can ask for. He said, according to the power that working within you. And I know that my co-host, Pastor Doris Smith, have touched that on today. And I just wanted to say I'm so excited. I'm getting ready for the NAACP toy giveaway, which will be this Saturday from 12 to 5 here at the historic St. James Methodist Church. And we're here getting ready for our toy giveaway. And we want to thank the Toys for Tots for blessing all of the children here in the city of New Orleans on today. And I ask that you keep all of the families and the children in your prayers, and everyone in your prayers. And I want to say Merry Christmas to all our listeners on today, because we will be tuned in the day after Christmas. We will have a show the day after Christmas. And let me wish each and every one a Merry Christmas as we prepare to celebrate Christmas. Remember, the reason for the season and to keep Christ in our daily life, not just Christmas Day, but every day. We want to thank God for sending his darling son, Jesus, and for his grace and mercy that has brought us thus far. To continue on with the show at this time.
All right.
Thank you, Evangelist.
Thank you.
Bishop, we were asking the question about some things we wanted you to share with our listeners this evening. When you say powerful people living powerless, and you've already shared with us that the Lord said it is finished, that means that everything that needs to be done is already done. Either you believe it or you don't. Because he said without faith it's truly impossible. So when we've been given all this power and the word of God said we have the power, what are some of the things that you would identify that we are powerful, but we live in powerless?
Amen. Amen. Okay, one thing, Pastor, that I can come up with is God says that I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people, I'm going to live in the inward part of you, meaning that we are told that that we all have sinned and fell short of the glory. So you still have people today thinking that the only way to God for them is through someone else.
Mm-hmm.
When in the new covenant, God says that I'm going to be your God, you're going to be my people, I'm going to live inward of you, and no longer do you have to hear from me through your neighbor of your brother, but I'm going to reveal myself to you from the least to the greatest.
Yes.
So when we start looking for God inside of us, opposed in someone else, opposed in something else, then we'll start seeing how powerful we are, because we realize that we have a direct connection to God now. When Jesus said it's finished, it's done, and then they say he gave up the ghost. And then the Bible says that the veil was rent from the top to the bottom,
mm-hmm.
meaning
ripped.
God ripped the veil, opened it, that was blocking us from God directly, that now don't exist no more, because now we have a direct connection with God. But back in the day, we had to go to the priest. They had to pray for us. We had to do animal sacrifices you brought up
mm-hmm.
earlier.
That's
we
right.
don't have to do that no more. We know the
That's
priest
right.
don't have to go into the innermost inner so that, you know, for to the tabernacle to pray for the sins of the people. But now you have the power and the authority
yes.
from God to pray for yourself, to speak directly to God, to seek God. He said, seek me while yet to be found. He said, if my people who are called by my name should humble themselves, seek my face, pray, turn from their wicked ways, then
That's
they will
it.
hear from heaven, and I will hear their land. You have the power, people, to go into communion with God. And how do we do it? A good example would be Matthew 6, starting around 9. Eight, go in your prayer closet. Luke 4:2, where we went for the Luke 4. That's the hour for the prayer. And you go, and he said, be one-on-one. Then we see that Jesus was upset with the disciples, because when they first went out, when he first sent them out, they was effective. But the second time they went out, they couldn't achieve perfection, because they didn't connect to that now they are connected to God. And because he didn't, they said, well, why wasn't we effective? They just said, because you had to fast and pray. So what we have to do, powerful people know to seek God. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added. Well, what all means? That everything that God desires for you in your life will happen for you if you seek God. Not through somebody, not because of somebody, but you seek God, because you said earlier, you referred to like Hebrews 11, where Hebrews 11 says, for it's by faith that we were saved in and of ourselves, not in and of ourselves. But then he says, but without faith. For without faith, it's impossible.
That's
so,
right.
So the power that we have that we don't usually utilize is we don't go to God for ourselves. We think that we have to get God from pastor. We think that we have to get God through a religion. We think we have to get God through a religion. We think we have to get God through some doctrine. But when God says that you have a direct connection to me, direct relationship, God says, seek and you shall find. Knock
right.
and the door shall
and
be open.
Ask.
And it shall be given
right
to
there.
You.
Bishop, let me ask
so,
you something. This is so
right.
good what you're sharing. As you're sharing this information tonight, and we're talking about powerful people, you're powerful because of who lives on the inside of you.
Come
when
on
you
now.
Come to
you're
the place
something.
Where you can recognize through relationship, not through, like you just said, not through constantly sitting. Many of the things that leave powerful people powerless is that they have a tendency to say, going to church going to get me in heaven. It's not about your religion. It's not about your tradition. It's about your relationship with God. You got to have a relationship with him. You can't know God for me, and I can't know him for you. It's got to come through a personal relationship, so that when the tests and trials of life rise up, I know how to go to him. I know how to go to the hill from where all my help comes from, because he says, finished. I know how to go to my doctor because it's finished. I know how to go to my lawyer because it's finished. See, if it's finished, and we don't know your ifs, ands, and buts, it is finished because he finished it. And as much as we did, he loved us so much. So in his image is his love. Nobody could have done what he did for us. This is such a beautiful teaching, Bishop. Nobody could have done what he did for us. And when you say powerful, we got to realize how powerful we are, not in ourselves, but in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Every bit of power that ever was power, that will ever be power, belongs to God. And we're walking around
right
here thinking that we got the power because we got it. We done missed it.
Come on now. See, and
so
that's the problem.
It's powerful people living powerless because they have forgotten or they're not aware. And what we ought to do as the mouthpiece, as we said so earlier, as we ought to do as the mouthpiece, as the very oracles of God, is to spout it in the world. Shout it in the world from the highest rooftop, the lowest valley, to tell them, you are powerful. Stop living a powerless life. He came that you may have life. Why is it that you don't have it abundant? Somewhere you don't believe. Go ahead, Bishop. I'm enjoying this.
Yes. And that's the thing, but like you're saying, and like in Matthew 7:21, and this is why I ask people to be careful, Pastor, because everybody likes to go to Romans 10:9-10. If one confesses with his mouth, believe in his heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, then they're saved. Then I've seen people in prison. They tell, okay, you saved, go ahead. I say, saved from what to what? You gave them absolutely nothing. Now, and why I say that? Because in Matthew 7:21, Jesus says, not everyone that said, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says that some are going to say, I cast out devils in your name. Some are going to say that I healed the sick in your name. And I'm going to say to them, get away from me, you sinner, for you know me not. This is what the Bible says. So you have to ensure. How do you ensure? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all
That's
things
it.
Will
Seek
be added unto you.
Amen.
And this, see, Pastor, and in Matthew 23:13, Jesus tell the Pharisees, he said, not only do you live in error. Now, the Pharisees we know was the religious leaders. That was your pastor of those days and everything.
Uh-huh.
So he told me, he said, not only do you live in error, no, you teach in error, no, you live in error,
teach.
But you teach in error. And he said, those who you teach will be twice as bad as you are, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to, people now need to know that no matter what the next person say, they're trying to do the same thing you're trying to do, be right with God. Your righteousness in God is not because of a man, is not because of religion, is not because of dogma or doctrine. It's because of that other word, relationship. And
Amen.
When you have that relationship, when you have that relationship, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Let's be real. No weapon formed against you. So what happens is that it's not I that live no more. Now it's Christ that liveth in me. It's the anointing of God that lives in me. Now I become the anointed one because I've been anointed by God. Now I go out and let my light so shine. What's the light? The anointing of God. To do what? Not to damn people to hell, but to go get his children out of hell. He said,
that's
go ye to the highways and the byways. Go
thing.
Get my children. Go get my babies. Go get them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get that the New Testament, the message of the new covenant is not to damn people to hell. The message of the new covenant is to go get my children out of hell. Because God now realized how hard the human experience is. Living the human experience is not the easiest thing in the world, but it's necessary for us because we're human, but also seeking God. And the Bible says, seek God while God yet can be found.
While
so
he yet
means?
To be found.
Come on now. You can't do that to someone else. You have to do that to yourself. So when we start realizing that what I need, I have, and I just have to start utilizing it, I have to start tapping into it, you know, because it's been made available to me. See, it's been made available to me. The keys of the car is sitting on the dresser, baby. The keys of the car is sitting on the dresser. But because you let a liar tell you that the keys are not in here, then you do what? You become comfortable with that, and then now you're the blind that's being led by the blind, so the two of you are going to end up in the ditch. This is why the parable of the tree not bearing fruit. We are looked at trees who are intended to bear fruit. How can we bear fruit? We have to actualize the power that has been granted to us, that we might go out and feed our fruit to those in need of a godly meal.
Let me just get the announcement. You are radio listeners listening to Facing Your Fears radio talk show this evening, where our host is Evangelist Norma Chapman. You have here hosting tonight your co-host, Pastor Doris Smith. We have here with us sharing Bishop Bernard Waters, as he is sharing with us tonight about powerful people living powerless. Listeners, press the number one on your phone. If you have a question, want to share your experience, or make a comment, we are so glad that you're connecting with us so faithfully tonight. Bishop, I just want to say to you, you made a comment. You said about those in prison. You say, see, that, and you brought up Romans 10 and 9, and I just want to just put a little point into that as to why a lot of times when you say saved from what, yeah, they're in prison. But one thing about the prison, God is not held outside of nothing. Prison walls can't even stop God. If you decide in your heart that you know you've erred and you want, he said, whoever would accept me, you know, that believe, you know, that he would accept them and they would be saved. So the problem in that, what you were just saying, is that, yes, I confess with my mouth and I say out of my mouth that I believe in my heart, but do I really? Because that's the only thing that could bring a bit of a separation. See, we say it, but then there's a process after saying that. There's a process that, yes, if thou shalt confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God had raised him, yeah, I did all that, but am I willing to go through the process so I can be raised from where I'm at to where I need to be so that I can flow in the power that God has given me?
Amen. Yes.
And this is what separate when you were saying, they say, yeah, I preach. Jesus said, yeah, get behind me. I preached in your name. I cast out demons. Yeah, get behind me. You know what I'm saying? Because really you did it in your name. You did it for people to see you. You didn't do it for them to see me. You did it for them to follow you. You said a very key scripture that I teach quite often in my ministry and share. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first. Is he really first or is he second? Is he third? Is he after you don't check with your bestie? Is he after you don't check with everybody else? Or is he really first? You are powerful people, but you live in powerless because of your relationship and the priorities that you have misprioritized in your life. You got to go through the process. Prison walls will never keep God out. If that heart by sitting in prison walls won't Jesus and accept it, but they got to go through the process.
Right. Amen. And, I should have clarified that, because the point, and I'm glad you did, though, Pastor, because the point wasn't because they're in prison. The point is that I was trying to make is that people, you can't just give people some words and just let them go. You have to nurture them, because if you look in that same scripture, you look at around 13, you know, 10 and 13, and saying, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless he was sent? And so I should have, you know, brought a little more clarity to that. Mm-hmm. So, you're right. And because
but I understood what you said.
Yeah. But, you know, but we have people listening, and you have to be clear, because the next person may not have known. I'm glad you brought it out. Thank you for doing that. So anyway, what we do, and when we do that and we realize not only who God is, but who we are in God, then we can maximize our potential on the planet Earth. Because God said, I give you not the spirit of fear but of love. But remember this, saints of God, remember this. It said, Jesus said, for they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And it also says that the tradition of man makes the word of God a non-effect. And this is the thing that I'm talking about. So when I'm talking from that perspective, because what people do is thinking that to look a certain way, as I used to do. Now, I'm speaking out of where I come from now. Where I thought looking a certain way, doing certain things a certain way, until I started reading for myself, until I found 2 Timothy 2 and 15 that freed my life. And then I started speaking, and I said, okay, God, I get it. Now, I get it. I get it. So the power, your power have to be in me. I am, in God, a powerhouse.
Yes, see, in Christ, you sure?
I'm in God, a powerhouse, because in Matthew 5 and 13, he said, for you are the salt of the earth. You know, you're the salt of the earth. And then it says in 15, 16, it says, and you're the light to the world. So what salt is? Salt is a preservative and is a seasoning. So we're preserving you as salt and as a seasoning. Seasoning meaning that we readying you for the plan of God. And then you become the light that emanates into the world that the people see. That people see God in you. And that's why the question is, well, who light a candle and put it under a bushel barrel? You have you have to allow the God in you to come out so that people can see that God is who God is. And sometimes people have been hurt, Pastor. People have been hurt. People have been lied to.
I'm sorry, Bishop Waters, but at this time it's getting late in the show, and it's almost time for us to end the show for today. And at this time, we would like to open up the line to any callers out there that has a comment or a question. Now is the time. You still have time to join in on this amazing topic today. So if you have a question or comment, or just want to voice your thoughts or share your experience, please press the number one on your phone. We only have a few minutes left in the show, and at this time, I would like for Bishop Waters to give more information on how you can contact him after today's show. Bishop Waters, you have a couple of minutes at this time to share with the listeners your contact information.
Okay, thank you, Evangelist. My name is Bishop Bernard Waters. My phone number is area code 504-615-1931. And my church address is 2411 Treasure Street, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70122. So, and my email would be Bernard, my first name, all lowercase, 5910@yahoo.com. So that's my information. I'd like to take this time out to thank Pastor Deborah Smith, Evangelist
Doris.
Norma. Doris Smith, I'm sorry, Sister Doris.
That's okay.
Sister,
Pastor
Doris Smith and Evangelist. We'd like to
Norma
thank the
Norma
Chapman.
Bishop, you're not over. The show is not over with yet. We're just taking the time out to give our information. You will have time to let the listeners know that, you know, to greet them before closing. At this time, Cole, I would like to introduce our newly elected treasurer for the New Orleans WNAACP. She would like to say hello out there to all our listeners, Mrs. Shirley Simmons. Would you please say hello to everyone that's listening, that's tuned in on today?
Hello to everyone that's listening and tuned in today, and thank everyone that voted for me for treasurer. And Merry Christmas to everyone. Thank you.
All right, we're going to let our youth from our youth department. This is Alice Lewis with the NAACP, who's been working very, very hard down through the years. She's going to wish all of our listeners a Merry Christmas at this time, Ms. Alice Lewis.
Merry Christmas to everyone in my listening voice.
and wishing you all a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. God bless you. God bless you. All right, listeners, it's almost time for the show to come to the end. At this time, we're going to let our co-host, Pastor Doris Smith, share some information on how you can contact her after the show. Solomon, I will give my information. Pastor, co-host.
Good
Pastor
evening.
Doris.
Good evening. This is Pastor Doris Smith. You can reach me email Trinity, T-R-I-N-I-T-Y, 03 Smith at yahoo.com. I am also on Facebook, Doris Smith. I am also on Instagram, Jesus Reigns Supreme. You can also connect with us on Tuesday and Thursday morning, 5 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Power Hour line of inspiration and motivation through the Word of God and the power of prayer. That number is 712-775-7031, access 710-569-pound.
All right, all right. Again, we want to thank all our listeners for tuning in on Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show, hosted by yours truly, Evangelist Norma Chapman, and my co-host, Pastor Doris Smith out of Miami, Florida. Of course, again, we want to thank our special guest from New Orleans, Louisiana, Bishop Bernard Waters, for being our special guest on Facing Your Fears on today. Listeners, I pray that you all enjoyed the topic on today, and I want to encourage you to please tune in every Thursday from 4:30 to 5:30, as Facing Your Fears will be coming back to you with another special guest and a new topic. So at this time, I would like to extend to you my information. You can contact me at Norma_Chapman@yahoo.com. Also, you can reach me on my Facebook page, Facing Your Fears. Also, What Faith Can Do, which I am the title. I am the author of that book, What Faith Can Do. Okay, listeners, you have a couple of seconds. If you still want to join in and say something on today, you have time to do so. About another 3 minutes, we're closing short, and we're going to let our special guest at this time say some goodbye thoughts to you. Following that, we will have our closing prayer by our co-host, Pastor Doris Smith. Again, Merry Christmas to all of you. Until next week, God bless you and God keep you. Bishop Waters.
Yes, ma'am. To the audience of Facing Your Fears, I would like to thank you for allowing me to speak to you all today. I pray that something was said that was beneficial to you. And if there's anything that was said that you would like to discuss, I gave my information. I'd be more than willing to discuss, but I don't debate. I discuss. I'm thankful to Evangelist Chapman again and Pastor Smith for hosting the program and allowing me to come on as a special guest. I'm forever thankful and grateful. But again, if there's anything that I can do for anyone that's listening, if you need an ear or a shoulder, you can definitely call upon me, and I'll make myself available to you. Thank you very much. God bless.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Bishop. God bless you, Evangelist Chapman. All of our listeners out there, I want to pause to take a moment to wish you and your family truly a very blessed Merry Christmas. Remember, the reason for the season is Jesus, not just for the season, but every day, all day. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We lift you up and magnify your holy name. We thank you for your servant today, Bishop Bernard Waters, that came on and broke the bread of life and shared, as he taught, powerful people living powerless lives. God, we thank you today. We pray that this word has been a help to somebody and some way has encouraged, inspired, uplifted, and motivated someone to know that they are powerful in Christ Jesus. As they transition out of 2019, great, into 2020, greater. God bless and God keep. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen. Amen.
Our show is now closed. Thank you, listeners. Connect back in with us on next week, Thursday. for Facing Your Fears Radio Talk Show.